Testing on.
Testing. Are we there? This is CITR 101.9 FM. This is the Inkstud Show, the show where we talk about comics. We were just listening to James Kolchelka, Superstar, friend of mine, friend of yours. That was from his album Spread Your Evil Wings and Fly. The song was called Fascist Bikes.
I liked it.
It was catchy.
It's catchy. He makes little catchy ditties.
He is. Get a little closer. I gotta
get right in here.
Speak into the mic, not beside the mic.
Speak into the mic. Okay.
So my name's Robin McConnell, your man behind the mic.
And I'm Don King.
Word, Don King. Not
hello.
Mike. Hello.
That's my call and invitation for the day because he's not here.
Hello. Okay, so we're supposed to be talking to Robin Thompson today, creator of Champions of Hell, Zombie Jesus, Little Natas.
And
that's Satan backwards, in case you weren't figuring out.
And Hemp Island.
And Hemp Island and other things. But Mofo is slow.
Yeah.
What up, dog? Where are you?
I think it's that Broadway traffic.
That's Broadway traffic. If you're in Vancouver, stay the hell off Broadway.
Yeah, and stay away from Maine.
Stay away from Maine. So we're going to kill time while they wait to show up. We're not having a really good track record with starting on time here. A couple weeks when we had James Kolchelka, we had to...
He was on the phone.
He was busy. Yeah, check out crowncommission.com/inkstuds to find out what happened with that interview.
And what size brush he uses.
And what size brush. Well, actually, I have a posting there of his strip about the show.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Awesome.
And you got to look yourself, because comics are a visual medium.
Yes.
And we are a radio medium, which means you can't see what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm. So we can.
Why do we do this? We're crazy.
Yeah, we can point and ooh and ah. No one's going to care.
Okay, yeah. So what are some new stuff we're liking? Because it's been a while since we've talked about new comics we've gotten. And there have been some great books coming out lately. One that we both love just came up from Fantagraphics last week. Top Hats and Flappers, The Art of Russell Patterson.
Yeah, Russell Patterson is awesome. He was an illustrator in the 20s and 30s, and he was known for doing, that sort of, what's the word?
Deco?
Yeah, kind of like a deco.
It's very deco.
Ballroom. Like, yeah. It's like the Jazz Age, basically, and he illustrated it for magazines like Life. He did some stuff for Life. Ballyhoo, I think, was one of them.
Ballyhoo! Let's see. Oh, yeah, there we go. Magazines. Judge, College Humor, Ballyhoo, and Life.
And he's awesome. He's absolutely fantastic. I actually sold one of the local cartoonists, Mr. Estee, yesterday. Showed him the book. He had to have it, too.
Nice.
It's a beautiful book.
Sean Estee, creator of Marooned, who was at the Comics and Stories Convention, where I spent far too much money on far too many good books.
We should give him a little bit of plug here. He's actually got a website. It's skulcano-island.com.
And yes, actually, yes. If you're into comics, you know who Warren Ellis is. Everyone who's into comics knows who Warren Ellis is. Big-time writer, really popular, really heavy online presence. He has this weird fanatical following of online minions, I think he refers to them as. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I really appreciate that kind of terminology.
Yeah.
But he...
Could have been worse.
Not much worse. He has... started this little thing of online comics just to kind of give props to really good online comics. And, you know, there's tons out there. Tons. More online comics than you can shake a stick at. It's like, you think there's enough crappy indie bands?
Yeah, there's a lot of crap.
But there's a lot of crappy online comics. There's a lot to sift through. So he's kind of gone through and said, you know, here's some goodness. And Sean Estee is one of those.
Really? Yeah. That's awesome. That's
and my nice first to hear. My first article I did for the Discorder was about three mini comics / online stuff I really like.
Uh-huh.
One was Hate Song,
yes,
by Mr. Fred Grissom, local man.
Fred Grissom, yes.
Excellent strip if you want to get offended.
Yeah. Again, check out the Crown Commission.
www.crowncommission.com. But Fred Grissom isn't a member of the Crown Commission.
Oh, okay. But they have some stuff.
Yeah, just shut
him
up,
usually.
Don.
Okay. Anyway.
Fred Grissom, Mike Meyer, who's one of my local favorites, actually did a poll quote on the back of his latest Space Jet comic. Yeah. And so that was pretty nice. Like me quoting, you know, a quote of me saying how much I love his comic. And Sean Estee was the third. And yeah, it was nice to see books by all three of those boys at the, you know, Comics and Stories Convention.
Yeah, Mr. James Jean was there. Got to meet him briefly.
James Jean, yeah, he was our guest last week. And I spent far too much money on prints by him. And I got a lovely little book that a lot of my friends are jealous because they were lazy. And said, oh, I'll pick stuff up later. I'll get stuff later. And then they're like, oh, you got that print I wanted, and you got all this other stuff I wanted.
Yeah, you got the magazine I wanted. He only had about three of them. I thought he had a bunch of them.
You know, man can only carry so much.
Yeah.
So you got to buy.
That's why he brought his girlfriend, though. I thought she was the pack mule for the show.
Oh. Well, the book I got was with Baron's story. Robin Thompson's finally showing up.
Yeah, it's those buses, isn't it?
He's slow, like snail on like sand.
Shit. Yeah, yeah. No kidding.
Hey, watch the mean language there, Mr. Robin Thompson.
I love transit. They got me here.
They got me here. You're going to cry. Okay, speak. Oh, I got to turn your mic on, don't I? There we go.
Take those.
There we go. We're joined now by Robin Thompson. We're done yakking. Robin Thompson, who I will remind is late.
Yeah.
He's going to get a hard time for the whole show.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I feel bad for all these students. They have, it's going to take them so long to get over here.
Yeah.
And it's only August.
Oh, shit. Look what I brought for you guys.
Oh, Robin Thompson
has brought us
stickers. Awesome.
You can trade those
awesome.
If you want to mix them up.
Yeah, I think we should trade some around. Robin Thompson created Zombie Jesus and Champions of Hell, Little Natas.
Yeah.
Which is Satan backwards, like I said before, in
very
case
good.
You're you don't understand what the hell I'm saying. And the legendary Hemp Island.
That is correct.
So we'll go through a couple of different things. Let's go through your comics. Your comics you have going right now, and then we'll go through how you got into comics. Yeah, your mic really sucks.
There we go.
It's
don't
like,
play with it. There,
don't property of CITR.
Just talk right into it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like the amazing Elasti. So tell us how you got in the Champions of Hell with Mr. Ira Hunter, which isn't his real name.
Well, yeah, that's correct. Ira, quote unquote, Hunter, he found me actually through the paper, put an ad in the paper, and I responded to an ad. And he was looking for an artist, and this was way, way back in 98.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I replied, and he really liked my art, and Champions of Hell was born.
Okay, I want to go back a little bit here, though. We're going to do
Well, I want to talk about his comics, and then we're going to go through his past.
Okay.
Let's give props to the comics.
Okay.
You guys are just waiting to get to the nitty gritty, aren't you?
Well, because he's. Yeah, anyway.
We've got to promote the comics.
Okay. Yes.
And then we're going to get the dirty secret.
Okay.
Do you really wear women's underwear? No, that's not what we're here.
No.
So, Champions of Hell, so you got together with Ira, and this was in Victoria?
This was in Victoria, that's right. I've been here in Vancouver for almost 4 years, and previously lived in Victoria for about 5 years or so. When we first came out with Champions of Hell, it's kind of had a cult underground sort of feel, and we kind of like that, and it still maintains that sort of feel to this day.
Gritty.
Yeah, very gritty.
Yeah.
Yeah, very
I don't know if I'd use gritty as the term. I read the first 3 issues this morning with Samhain.
That's correct.
Is that his real name?
That's Natus's real name.
Natus.
Yes.
Yeah. So is there any relation between Lil Natus and Samhain?
Yeah, Lil Natus is the Champions of Hell comic strip, actually. So it's kind of making fun of the own genre that we've created with Champions of Hell. So it's you don't have to read Champions of Hell to like understand Lil Natus. It helps. It'll make a lot of more inside jokes funnier. But Little Natus was just my approach of just kind of having more fun with ourselves, you know, what we do.
Funny, funny, funny.
The one thing I totally noticed is that you guys put out a lot of these sketchbooks, like these compiled sketchbooks from different people doing the Champions of Hell characters.
Well, Jesus that I see is the...
And we do the same with Zombie Jesus, and that's because Ira and I have done so many conventions over time, right? We usually go to the big San Diego Comic-Con every year. And then, of course, here in town, we have Vancouver Comic-Con about 5-6 times a year. And so we're constantly meeting artists and seeing artists. And after a while, we just got this massive collection of sketches from different
massive.
People. Massive. Mm-hmm. And, it's really cool when you meet an artist like Simon Beisley. Mm-hmm. And you say, hey, will you do a sketch for us so we can print it in our little ragtag comic book? And he goes, sure. What are you going to do? Of course, you're going to print it, right?
Yeah. That's pretty dope.
Yeah.
And you guys make a regular trek down to San Diego. You didn't go this year.
I didn't go this year. No.
I heard.
But Ira went down, so we were still representing. We've been representing for about 7 years now.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
Has it changed?
Well,
has it lost its artistic integrity, San Diego?
I'm not so stoked to go anymore. There's just too many blooming people. The best year I had is when I dressed as our character Zombie Jesus. As many people are dressed up. and I started pimping our comics in the aisles. Mm-hmm. And they said that we weren't allowed to do that. And I said, well, can I talk to people? And security said, well, you can say whatever you want. You just can't sell your comics in the aisles. That's what your booths are for. So he left me no choice but to go around and berate everyone in the convention, which I proceeded to do for 2 hours straight.
Awesome.
Which was, yeah.
Did it work?
Yeah, it worked great. I guess Chip Kidd, you know Chip Kidd?
Yeah, yeah.
He quoted me at the Eisner Awards later on that evening.
Really? What did he say?
he said the funniest thing he's ever heard at the San Diego Comic-Con was a quote from me at Zombie Jesus saying, if you love zombies and you love Jesus, then you will love Zombie Jesus. Apparently he thought that was hilarious.
Well, I just want to make sure people realize where the term Zombie Jesus comes from because, you know, Jesus really is a zombie. He comes back from the dead.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Dude comes back
from the
dead.
He's sort of like the undead.
That's right. You know, he's either a zombie or a vampire, and I'm going with the zombie because I'm sick of vampires.
Yeah, because he doesn't drink blood. He just, you know, just kind of climbs back out of the grave.
Well, no, it's also the Catholic, you know, body of Christ,
exactly.
Blood of Christ.
Yeah. That's right. You know,
sacrament.
Yeah.
I was raised a Catholic, and
that's why.
So it's a bit of rebellion coming out of me, but, you know, it's funny because in the Bible, there's nothing written after Jesus is risen from the dead, which I thought, even as a kid, quite shocking because Jesus has powers, evidently.
Yeah.
He raised himself from the dead.
Is that kind of like John Travolta in the Scientology now?
Apparently,
John Travolta has superpowers, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Superpowers to make horrible movies?
Yeah, same with...
horrible movies.
Yeah, same with his name, Tom Cruise?
No. John Travolta, seriously, he's a higher ranking than Tom Cruise.
Oh, really?
I would like to see Zombie Jesus versus John Travolta in battle.
Let's see who would take down who. It would be a slap down.
Well, he played an angel in one of his crappy movies.
Yes, he did. Yeah, he's played all sorts of things in
has
some of his crappy
movies. Has he had a
good movie? Pulp Fiction?
Okay.
Saturday Night Fever.
Okay, other than Pulp Fiction.
Saturday Night Fever.
Pulp Fiction 2.
Saturday Night Fever's a good movie.
Pulp Fiction 2. Gun Boogaloo.
Yeah, Electric Boogaloo.
But I digress because fill in the gaps. You know, how come there was nothing written about Jesus Christ in the Bible after he was risen? Well, because the truth is, as we all know, he was risen a zombie. Right?
Yeah.
Possibly one of history's first recorded zombies.
Yeah.
So we just thought we'd fill in the gaps and have the ongoing saga of what Zombie Jesus was doing after he was risen.
Do you think this is like some kind of Catholic conspiracy?
I think it is, to be 100% honest, yeah.
The conspiracy talk starts now, before we even get into Hemp Island.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's controversial. Some might see it as blasphemous, but I say that's a part of the fun.
Yeah. People that find that stuff blasphemous, they're just no fun in general, who cares what they think?
Well, that's the other thing. It's kind of poking fun at religion as well, because, you know, people believe so much in the Bible, and yet there's so much in the Bible that's not actually there. It's like never seen the end to a soap opera, right? Halfway through a soap opera, that's all you see, but you're going to believe it for every word, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It's kind of screwed up that way.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
So have you had any reaction to Zombie Jesus?
Like good or bad?
I want to hear any negative reaction.
Any negative? No, actually, you know what? The response has been actually overwhelming. That's our one comic at conventions that we sell out of, and we can't keep it on the table. So I guess that's a good thing.
And you've made a Zombie Jesus short movie.
It's the comics originally came from a movie that I starred in as Zombie Jesus, made by Ira Hunter for a film contest. It's a short little film, and we won this contest. And so Ira won, I don't know, a couple $100 or something like that.
Did you get anything?
Awesome.
So you buy your six-pack?
You know what? Ira didn't even, when he got up there and made a big speech before he grabbed his cash, no thank you. No thank you to Robin Thompson.
Where's the love?
No love.
Where's the love?
No love. Even though I had to stand out there in a freezing cold day, up on a cross, hanging myself on a cross, bleeding, crying.
It's like
for
everyday
real.
Stuff. You know, it's like real life stuff.
That's right.
Maybe like Mel Gibson not thanking, what's his name?
Christ.
What was the name of the guy in The Passion of the Christ? Not that Mel Gibson deserves any awards.
Pilot.
No. Well, you know, and because of this movie, a lot of people have come up to me and said, oh, what did you think of Passion of the Christ? But I still have never seen The Passion of the Christ.
I've seen The Passion of the Jew from South Park. That was funny.
Right.
I'd like to see that.
Have you seen it?
Nope. No. I have no interest in seeing it. I saw every time a controversial religious movie comes out, it's usually boring and overblown. And, and like the last time there was a Jesus movie, it was The Last Temptation of Christ, and everybody got all freaked out.
That's right.
And it was boring.
Yeah.
That was it. It was boring. You know, so I got better things to do than go to see a movie with Mel Gibson that looks boring.
Somebody gave away the end of the movie to me. Apparently Jesus dies in the end of the movie. I'm not supposed to tell you that.
Yeah, they tell you on every news show. You
Jesus.
Know?
Christ.
Yes.
Oh, so you brought a Champions of Hell CD with you. Did you remember to bring it?
I did.
Go grab it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Champions of Hell, the rock. Is it a musical to go with the comic, or is it a band?
No, I'll tell you the story. There actually is a Champions of Hell band that was erected in 2001. They lasted for a couple years, and they did this kick-ass Halloween show, live Halloween show in Victoria, where they had full-on visuals. I mean, they get all dressed up as the characters. They get a big fog machine up on stage. They have a big fog.
They got smoke.
They got
awesome.
Smoke. That means high tech, right?
Yeah.
They got a big 5-foot-tall glass bong with them up on stage in case anyone wants to partake. Good times. Fun for the whole family.
I want to mention the names of the members of the band. There's Insaniac.
Insaniac, yes.
Insaniac. I like Insaniac.
Sure.
I was going to say Insaniac.
It's French.
It's more sanitary.
Insaniac, who does Growls and Screams. Angel of Death, 666 Strings. Olaf the Impaler. Impaler. Impaleartology. Low End Debauchery. Non-Oblitus. An Cryptic Rhythm of Rot and Decay. Now, why don't have James Kotelka Superstar as one of the members?
You know what? We called him up. He was busy.
Just for the record, for the uninitiated, oubliette is like the grate in like a torture chamber where all the blood and guts oozes down.
I thought that was just one of those little lines above German letters or something.
Yeah. Well, now you know.
Okay, what track off this do we want to play?
Let's just go right off the top here.
Enslaver of the Damned, Vile and Pissed.
So what you're going to hear is some demon bong toking at the start of the song, and then we'll just get into the fun.
Okay.
Is there any listener discretion advised, or is it just good times?
Well they should already be just.
Just be advised in general.
Yeah.
That's all.
Rock and roll. Oh,
You know,
CITR 101.9 FM
in Vancouver. This is the Inkstead Show. That last song just makes me wanna curl up in the couch with a fine brandy.
Yeah. Some cheese.
Pet a cat.
Yeah.
Pet a cat.
Light some candles.
And or
kill. Kill.
Yeah. Yeah, unfortunately, they're no longer around. That's the sad part.
Mm. Well,
they've gone off and done other musical ventures.
Are they champions of somewhere else?
They better not be.
They better not be. I'm the champion of Burbank.
Yeah, well, they could have that title if they want. If you're going to be a champion of anything, it might as well be of hell, really, when you think about it.
Yeah, there you go.
Good times.
You know, you got your breakfast of champions. That kind of sucks. You don't want to be like a breakfast, right? I guess that's something else.
Wheaties.
Wheaties. So, what is it about the hell genre that so captures you?
Well, you know,
get us down to some satanic theory, maybe some.
There's a couple of things. I think, like I said before, it's a bit of a rebellion as growing up as a Catholic, and then kind of like, you know, not really going along with the faith.
Well, you know what's kind of neat though is
Don's gonna have his
I'm gonna have a little bit of a rant here. You know what's kind of neat though is that
start the
it's funny because Catholics are the most uptight people in just about the whole world, and
does not stand behind what Don says.
No, but what I will say is they're actually some of the most uptight people in the world that you'll ever meet that actually believe that there's such thing as demons.
Well, that's true.
They believe it.
They try to scare the shit out of you so you believe.
Yeah.
So I blame the church for all this satanic crap because they're the ones who introduced me to Satan, right?
And
hell and fire and brimstone.
Yeah, the lake of fire and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Have you ever listened to Anton LaVey's CD, Satan Takes a Holiday?
I've never heard it.
If anyone in the station is listening, can you grab it for us? Anton LaVey, Satan Takes a Holiday. I'll play a track for you later.
That would be great. Yeah.
It rocks. I know we have it here. I've played it before.
Yeah.
It's a fun ditty.
But, you know, it's speaking of fun, that's what we try to do with, you know, like I'm not a Satanist. Obviously,
People boring.
They're boring. We kind of have fun at the expense of Satan and the whole genre, right? You know, people can be evil and love evil, but it doesn't mean they're evil.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
There's a difference, right?
Well, the funny thing is, you're one of the nicest guys in town in the comic scene, but you had the evilest comic. It's such like an oxymoron.
It's true.
It's like you look at like Champions of Hell and expect to like go up to the table and find like some guy who's trying his best to look like Glenn Danzig there.
Right. Yeah.
It's like, hey, what's going on? Have you read Champions of Hell or Zombie Jesus?
See, but you can still like that. You know, can still like metal music. You can still love horror movies and everything and still be a nice person. You don't have to dress the part. I mean, I'm sure half the people that do that shit are posers anyways, right? Yeah. Like, we want people to actually enjoy what we do. You know, in fact, there's sometimes we get young kids looking at Champions of Hell comics and you know, they think it's so cool because it's got Satan on the cover and it's so blasphemous. And then it's so funny, they turn around, they look at their moms and they want their moms to buy it for them.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know what? Sometimes they do.
Yeah.
Sometimes moms do. Cool moms, anyway.
Moms love Champions of Hell.
Yeah.
You heard it here first.
That's right.
Soccer moms love Champions of Hell.
And Robin Thompson loves soccer moms.
Yes.
I have a penchant for the yummy mummies. Yes, you could say.
So, what are some of your favorite horror movies? Let's do a little horror talk.
I love that. That's great. Well, let me tell you something really recent. Maybe you guys have seen it, maybe not. The best movie I've seen this year, hands down, it's a horror movie, and it's called The Descent. I don't know if you guys have seen that.
You know what? I haven't seen it, but it's actually on my iPod video right now.
This movie actually scared me, and a movie hasn't done that in years. Movies try, or they don't even try. This one tries, and they succeed.
Really?
Did you shart a little?
Oh, I jumped out of my seat like 6 times. There's a little bit of poop that came out of my pants. Rolled down my leg.
Awesome.
People in the theater were they were losing it. Everyone was all grabbing on to each other. And I haven't had that much fun in a theater in years. So that is definitely the top of my list right now.
Have you seen The Night Watch? The Russian one? I want to see that. Yeah, that's one I've heard this. I've heard nothing but good things about, but I haven't seen it yet.
It's supposed to be like a horror slash
fantasy. Yeah, action, good versus evil.
Something kind of like that. It looks really, really cool.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, it's something to do with like the army of darkness is lining up to battle the army of good or something. And it
sounds like Champions of Hell.
But it won the Academy Award. Yeah. It was nominated for the Best Picture for Academy Award for Best Foreign Film.
No way.
Yeah, it might have won, but I'm not sure.
Take that, Mel Gibson.
Yeah, there you go.
Put that in your beer can and drink it.
Yeah.
It's tequila he was drinking.
Oh, okay. All right.
Okay. Put that in your worm-infested bottle of
booze. That in your put that in your anti-Semitism and drink it.
Oh.
And smoke it.
Like I said before, we are not fans of Mel Gibson on the Instance.
No, that's fine. I don't think anyone is.
I saw a documentary called Protocols of Zion. It's a whole exploration into mass anti-Semitism and the whole Protocols of Zion thing, which, if people don't know, it's this weird, fictitious thing made up to read that these this conspiracy, the Elders of Zion and stuff. And Mel Gibson's dad is such... this is totally way off topic.
Yeah.
But in the thing, there's a phone call with him where he goes on about how there was no Holocaust. They all, 6 million Jews, they went on a trip. Yeah. It's like, come on, you know?
Don't you know the Jews just went to space all of a sudden?
Yeah, everyone knows.
They live on the moon.
I know. It's like,
it's so horribly offensive on all levels.
I know. It's so silly. Like, I just find it silly. Like, people don't go, World War II never happened. You know, no one comes up with stuff like that except kooks. You know?
Actually, what people don't really know is we're up to World War VI.
Yeah, yeah.
So the past several wars didn't really happen. Yeah,
yeah. Well, I was noticing in, I think it's at Champions of Hell, 2006, in New York, that's when the shit goes down. That you have in the comic.
That's true. And so by the time it hits 2013, then everything is just kind of like a wasteland.
Because I'm going to New York in October. Now you've got me scared.
Well, you should be scared. Anyone should be scared of going to New York.
Yeah. And again, my dad sent me some weird conspiracy thing saying the world's going to blow up in 2006.
The year is 1997.
In October in 2006 in New York. Shit. It's hitting the fan.
It's funny, you know, the shit is like, supposed to, that. In the past several years, the shit was supposed to hit the fan several times. With Y2K, 1999, nothing happened. Recently this year, June 6th, in the year 2006, 666,
D-Day.
What happened? Nothing.
That's D-Day, isn't it?
Was it D-Day?
June 6th, 1944 is D-Day.
So really, the earth should have just shattered on that day. But nothing happens. So I don't know about all these conspiracies.
I almost wish I brought some Iron Maiden. I want to play. 666
is the number of the beast. Yeah, it's a little high.
I don't like metal. I'll admit here, I'm not a fan of metal.
You don't like Black Sabbath?
No.
Oh, you're. Jesus. Oh, but give your head a shake, man.
But I like the song 666, and
it's actually called the Number of the Beast.
Yeah, whatever. It's I like human that number. Song. And there's one other. I feel really uncomfortable with that comment.
Yeah.
Okay, you brought Kill Alan Wrench.
I did. Yeah.
The name of the album?
Well, the album, not the man.
Not the man. He's sitting in a box in the corner. The name of the album, listener discretion is advised. I'm going to keep saying this throughout the show. My Bitch is a Junkie.
Let's play My Bitch is a Junkie.
Yeah, that's a great title. That's the best title I've heard in a while.
The reason I brought that is because there is a Champions of Hell tie-in with Kill Alan Wrench, a controversial rock star. He's big in Japan. Apparently.
Yahoo.
Well, who isn't?
Yeah. That's right. And so we'll hear a little track from the album My Bitch is a Junkie called My Bitch is a Junkie.
Now,
the title track.
Yes.
Yeah. And you say it has something to do with the death of Kurt Cobain.
Well, there's some conspiracies, as we've been talking about, that he has something to do with the death of... He doesn't like to talk about it.
Yeah.
There's a really funny phone message. He got a death threat, and it's on his album here, and he just kind of goes off. So what really happened? I don't know. I guess that's him and Courtney.
I notice he has a song called El Duce Will Kick Your Ass, and El Duce... from the Tormentors, was it he was in?
Yeah.
Who was in the Kurt and Courtney documentary. He's dead now.
Yeah.
My friend actually got to go on tour with him. My friend was in Revco,
okay.
Revolting Cocks.
Yeah.
And he was opening, and he goes out to the room, like, hey guys, there's some guy passed out in the bathroom. I'm like, oh, it's El Duce! And everyone's running in there to go and meet him and stuff. So,
so what really happened?
What really happened? Well, let's find out. We'll be right back.
junkie and she kind of likes crack. Whoa, whoa, whoa. She drools and she pukes. It's kind of a drag. And she likes to do it when she's on the rag. My bitch is a junkie. My bitch is a junkie. My bitch is a junkie. My bitch is a junkie.
CITR 101.9 FM.
Tight ending.
That was Kill Alan Wrench, and if you weren't listening to the song, then you can't figure out the name of it. I'm sorry. I'm not saying it again.
No. Oh, okay.
Let's move on.
Because my bitch is a drunk.
You actually have done some illustration for different rock bands, haven't you? I know it's 3 inches of blood you've been doing some stuff?
Three inches of blood.
And presently, they're T-shirt man. Yeah, so if you've seen the 3 inches of blood and you've bought some swag off them, chances are it's some of my imagery, as well as Dayglo Abortions, and as we talked about, Kill Alan Wrench.
Awesome.
Well, your workmate here, co-conspirator Ira,
yeah,
does the magazine Absolute Underground.
That is correct.
The mm-hmm. only real punk rock newspaper.
Yeah.
Yeah. Around
and
here.
Does it with Jack Willie or Willie Jack.
Willie Jack, that's correct.
Who is, bassist for the Dayglos?
Something like that.
Yeah. My brother was actually roommates with him for like 5 years, so.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. That's a small world.
Yeah, how about that?
Yeah. Now my brother just wanders around causing trouble.
Now we are officially loosely linked with the hardcore scene.
Oh, yeah. My brother knows Ira.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Not that, you know, no one actually... No, I don't know. You know, my brother can drink pretty hard, so. But no one's met my brother, so.
And Ira's really always too stoned to fight, anyway.
Yeah, let's link that to Hemp Island.
Okay.
Nah.
Hemp Island, the only appearance of Robin Thompson, a comic, or he's called in Hemp Island.
Yeah.
Let's get the, what's your actual character name? Robbo Flanagan? Robbo Fancy Pants Flanagan.
Yeah. I don't really know.
What makes you fancy pants?
I don't really know where that came from. I think that's my quote-unquote funny name. So I'm a funny guy.
We were actually talking about Hemp Island yesterday. I was discussing it with Mr. Robin Bougie, who does a cinema sewer. And he said that
into the mic, Don.
He said he loved it because he said it was almost like reading a Jack Chick religious tract, except it was about hemp. It was like
I don't know what he means by that.
It was just so earnest.
So fanatical.
Like, it's just about hemp. Like it was so it's heartfelt.
We're not deceiving anyone.
Yeah, no. Yeah.
It's well, we wanted to come up with a funny title. Because all we had was
Hemp Island,
right? Something humorous as well as something that something that we love, and you know, wanted to make it a little educational in case you've never heard of this thing called hemp. Mm. And you know, I'm in it, and Ira's in it, and other people that we know. Rather than I'm not a huge fan of the autobiographical comics, and those are usually the only type of comics that people put themselves into. I'm like, if you're gonna put yourself into a comic, it might as well be like a fantasy story.
That's true.
You're going crazy.
That's true.
Adventures.
Yeah, you go mental. Just go absolutely nuts.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. And so
Who wants to have themselves in an autobiographical thing? You want yourself.
Well, that's boring, I think.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You better live an exceptionally awesome life if you're making a story about yourself.
Yeah.
This is true. On that note, there is a new peep show in the new previews. Speaking of
awesome
people with
lives,
extremely lame lives doing autobiographical comics. Who wants to read another issue of Joe Matt going through his porn collection?
Yeah, exactly.
At least it took 4 or 5 years for him to come up with a new one.
You know.
Oh. Yeah. Anyway.
Well, you know, if people want to do that, that's great. You know, I'm just not going to read it or whatever, right? I'd rather read something that's at least drawn well, or something that's funny, or something that's maybe a little poignant.
Yeah,
or,
it's got a point.
You can see where we're going with this. And maybe Hemp Island has that, maybe it doesn't, I don't know, but at least that's our attempt to try to break away from the whole autobiographical
runaway. Run away!
Yeah.
So you love marijuana, you love Hemp Island.
Yeah.
How many characters in there are real? There's you, there's Irie.
It's everyone's real except for when they find the island, and they find this island of these natives. It's an uncharted island, these natives, and they live in big giant hemp trees. And they live off hemp. They eat it. They make
their
clothes out of it.
It's like the Ewok village.
It's exactly.
It's like the Swiss family hemp.
The Swiss family stoner.
Yeah.
So showing all the many benefits of hemp, which some we have today and some we don't.
This is true.
Yeah.
You wear quite a few different hats here, because you got the Hemp Island thing. You got the Champions of Hell. You got your illustration. You also do. You also teach cartooning, don't you?
To children.
Yes. You know, and anyone listening to this program now, after listening about Champions of Hell and playing my bitch is a junkie, I'm sure they're going to be very anxious for me to teach their children. Get this guy to teach my kid cartooning.
Yeah, more of that.
We need him. Yeah, it's true. I teach cartooning classes around Vancouver at various rec centers and grade schools. Grade schools.
Do you have a website or anything that people can get a hold of you if they're interested in sending their kids to some cartooning camp?
They could always email me, robothompson@hotmail. The only other site that I have presently running is the Champions of Hell site. And if you would like me to teach your children, I would advise you not to go to that site. So the best way is just you know, send me off an email and we'll talk.
God bless.
Yeah.
So how, I'm going back now. I get to go back and ask the question I wanted to ask at the beginning. So like when you were a kid, what got you into drawing comic books, or like what were there certain comics that grabbed you, or newspaper strips?
You know, it's weird, and I don't know if a lot of artists have that defining moment of when they decided that they wanted to be an artist for the rest of their life. I just remember when I was young, just always drawing all the time. I used to draw a lot of sharks all the time.
You love sharks?
I love sharks. Yeah. I used to draw sharks all the time.
I'm still waiting for the definitive Robin Thompson shark comic.
Well,
with a blue cover.
It's in a watch out for Frenzy Comics. Coming to you soon. And I used to create my own little character called Punch Man. He was this lame superhero going around just punching people. Very violent in retrospect. But what it was that actually made me want to do I don't know. It's just something that I always loved. My older brother used to read comics, and I'd always sneak into his room and read them while he wasn't around, and I was just enamored by them.
Any favorites?
When I was younger back then. Mm-hmm. He was a big X-Men fan, right? Of course, X-Men very popular at the time. So I started reading a lot of X-Men, and those comics introduced me into John Byrne, which has always been a favorite.
Oh yeah, and me too. Oh, he was a favorite. He was a favorite of mine.
Just so you don't know, they just high-fived.
We high-fived over John Byrne,
the whitest boys in the city.
Yes.
Just high-fived over the whitest comic.
John made one of the best comics that heavily influenced my life, which was Alpha Flight.
Oh yeah, one of the first Canadian-based comics. Hero
that didn't
group.
Suck.
That didn't suck, because Captain Canuck kind of sucked.
Hey,
Captain Can sucks.
Yeah.
What about what's his name? The Strong Smokeman. Is it he a Canadian superhero?
Reed Fleming. Well,
that's kind of a different thing altogether.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, I didn't know who the hell that was.
Isn't Jim Carrey Canadian? 80s. He's Canadian. He's okay.
Yeah. Boo to Jim Carrey from this dirty bird.
Shatner's Canadian, isn't he?
Yeah, thanks.
And
thanks
Neil
a lot.
Shatner.
Yeah, thanks.
Thanks.
Neil Young.
So,
the band.
Boo.
But yeah, John Byrne was a big hero of mine. And when I started getting into comics as a teenager, Arthur Adams was a huge influence, Bill Sienkiewicz. And, you know, I think that, like, the 80s, honestly, I'm not just saying this because, you know, I grew up in the 80s, but was one of the best time for the comics industry because we had all this crop of great talent come out, and plus comics started to get recognized as more adult material as opposed
and,
to the traditional
funny books. I totally agree, and that's when the, that when like the independent stuff started taking off, we started having things like Love and Rockets.
Exactly.
You know,
some British guy named Alan Moore put out a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, yeah, and Neil Gaiman and all these guys came out of, like I think to me, in North America, the 80s was a bottomless pit of garbage except for comic books.
Agreed, yeah.
Well, leave there it to Don to speak comics, his mind.
Yeah.
But, you know, and ever since then, I've been wasting my money on those things ever since. Yeah,
it's like heroin.
It is.
Once you get into the comics,
it's smack for the brain and eyes.
Yeah.
I'd say more for brain than eyes.
Okay, sure.
More eyes for than brain. I don't know.
Both. It's a visual thing.
It's a visual media on the radio. Yeah. CITR 101.9 FM. This is the Inkstud Show. We're going to play The Bouncing Souls. I couldn't remember the name of the song. The name
Hopeless
the
Romantic.
The song is Hopeless Romantic. Name of the album as well. If you know it, give us a call. 604-822-2487. If you have a question for Robin Thompson, give us a call and we'll bring you right on air.
Yeah.
That'll be fun.
Yeah.
I can't guarantee a nice response. Actually, he's the nicest guy in the room.
Yeah.
CITR. Want to open on Inkstuds. CITR 101.9 FM.
101.9 Cable.
Cable.
Oh, yes.
Cable, Able, Able Cable. You're mentioning you used to play this while it was, or always playing at Ira Hunter's place while making minis.
Yeah, that was her base of operations for the longest time, was his decrepit living room with, like, lots of cats. And we would spend hours folding and stapling comics.
Does he smell like cat pee?
Does Ira smell like cat pee?
If he has lots of cats?
No.
Because he's not in the room, I'll say sure. <You know? laughs> And he would play that album just like over and over and over again, and got ingrained in my mind. So
I will say this about Ira. I'm in love with his sister. She's beautiful. Anyway, go on.
Ladies, in case you didn't know, Dawn is single and on the prowl.
Yes.
Wow.
anyway.
Okay, sorry about that. So I just have a couple of news updates, and we'll continue with the Robin Thompson talk. There is another... We were at the small press convention on Sunday, and there's another convention on the 10th of September.
Sunday.
Sunday, yeah.
Sunday the 10th. Will you be there, Robin Thompson?
Are you kidding? I sleep there.
Yeah.
He does. Don King, I noticed, is on the list.
I'm on the list this time, and the guest will be Michael T. Gilbert.
Comics historian is what he's advertised as.
Michael T. Gilbert?
Yeah. And so I'm curious to see what kind of comics historianism. I'll talk to him at the con.
When it comes to Mr. Monster, he's a comics historian.
He actually does an article in the Alter Ego magazine, and he talks about historical comics from the 40s.
Oh, neat. Okay. Yeah. Well, that actually might be a neat launch. Maybe I'll talk to him and see if he feels like joining us for one gab session with the studs.
Yes.
In studs. Next week, we will be speaking with Alex Robinson, creator of Box Office Poison and Tricked. I read Tricked. I enjoyed it. It's good.
Yeah, good.
So I've got Box Office Poison in my bag. I'm going to read it on the train out to Chilliwack tonight.
Oh,
yay, Chilliwack.
Mm. Yeah.
And then after that, we're going to be interviewing Anders Nilsson. I'm not sure the date yet. I requested for the 14th. I hope he's available then. And then week after that, Robin Consobaris will be joining me for an interview with Renee French.
Oh, she's fun.
She's in Australia, so it's a pre-recorded midnight.
Oh, lovely.
So last night we're sending emails back and forth trying to sync up time.
Oh.
So we know exactly what time we'll be calling her at. So it'll be like 5 o'clock her time or something.
I was going to have one little news article that I almost forgot to mention. That if anybody is looking for the new Alan Moore book just came out, Lost Girls.
Lost Girls, yeah.
And it's gorgeous.
It's gorgeous. It's a 3-volume hardcover slipcase set.
And once you look at it, the book won't be the only thing that's hard.
Yeah. High fives. Three of them. Yeah, the...
Putting the studs back in ink studs.
Wired.
But it is available at RX Comics on Main and 8th. I'm going to give Aaron a plug because I know he's got some extra ones there.
RX. Comic Shop will have it.
Yeah, it'll be hard to find, though, probably. I don't know how many copies people are bringing in.
But RX is having the big 4th anniversary sale this weekend,
that's too, right.
So it's a good time to drop by.
Main and 8th.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. So I just like to say now he hasn't actually paid for advertising yet.
No.
He will now.
But he is a member of the Friends of CITR membership program, which will be starting up soon. So
awesome.
I don't have any information about that now, but you'll find out about it soon. If you're a friend of CITR, you get discounts at all sorts of stores.
But if you want to spend the money, get the Alan Moore book, The Lost Girls. That'll be probably the last comic book thing he'll be doing, maybe ever.
No, he has another one coming out with a Jose Valruba.
Oh, really?
Yeah, photo book in French. Or it's coming out in France. I don't know if it'll come out in English or French.
Oh, well,
so let me get this straight. Batman is not in any of these books? Is this correct?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
Neither is Superman or Swamp Thing.
Or a mutant.
Or a mutant. Well, I don't know.
Well,
after you look at that,
maybe.
You'll wonder about that. So what kind of future projects do we have to see from Robin Thompson?
As I was hinting at before, Frenzy Comics. If you like sharks as much as I do, I'm going to come
do this
with
one with blue. Do a nice light blue.
Yeah, color. Look for a blue cover. Who knows, maybe you'll get wacky, do a color cover this time. But Frenzy Comics will be coming out.
And will that be written by you?
Be written and drawn by me, as well as Kelly Everhart. It's going to be...
Oh, Everhart.
It's going to be an anthology.
Right? Oh,
so
you can do shark stories.
Shark stories,
really?
Whether they're real or fantastic, definitely inspired by Shark Week a couple weeks ago. Just saw some horrifying stories of people who survived these or didn't survive these crazy shark attacks, and these stories need to be told in a visual.
I'm gonna have to submit something to that. Maybe.
Yes, yeah.
I was watching this cheesy movie. I think it's like The Deep Blue or something like that, where these, you know, these blonde, blue-eyed people go, you know, find treasure in the Caribbean, and, you know, it's all, treasure sticks. My favorite part, some girl gets, like, a chunk taken out of her leg by a shark. It's awesome.
It's
like a big gushy wound.
Is that The Deep?
With that,
No, it's called Blue Deep or Deep Blue.
Yeah,
or
it's got Jessica Alba in it. Yeah. I know that much.
Oh, that one, okay. I thought you were talking about the Jacqueline Bisset.
Jacqueline Bisset.
Yeah, I thought you were talking about The Deep. Jacqueline Bisset.
Don is dating
anyway,
himself.
Yeah.
Also coming up, we got I'm going to be at the Word on the Street Festival.
Underneath
the art gallery.
That's September 24th.
There's also going to be some weird guy named Joe Sacco there.
Yes.
Yeah.
If you've heard of him. And
Yeah.
I'm a big fan. And I'll be getting a chance to interview him the next day.
Awesome.
So. Fantastic. Yeah, come on down. That's a fun event.
I'll be there. Yeah. I'll be spending money.
Will you be wearing pants?
Maybe.
That will be up to people to find out.
Yeah. Show up if you want to see whether we're going to be wearing pants.
Yeah.
So we have enough time to play one more song.
Okay. In a bit.
What do you want to hear as the last thing?
You know, I have this CD sampler with this music in it, and I've never heard the horror pops, and I know lots of attractive women enjoy the horror pops. So,
which means they probably suck.
This is the chance for us.
Oh!
It's called Horror Pops, Bring It On.
Bring It On. Okay, I'm not going to play it right away. I think we still got a couple of minutes, but I just want to set it up while we're
Set
away.
Her up, get her ready to go.
Set it up, and then like Luke wanted me to play what's this Dragon Force, but I didn't get around to it. I was going to, and then every song is like 5 to 8 minutes long.
Dragon Force, that sounds like a series of action figures.
Yeah,
take a look at the guys on the back.
Dragon Force.
Oh, they look like a series of action figures that I would never buy.
Yeah. Nice hair.
Oh, man.
How do they get the hair that long and that straight?
And can we talk about action figures for a second?
Go ahead.
Let's do it.
Can they stop making sucky action figures?
Yeah, no.
Can they stop
kidding.
Making action figures that look hideously grotesque?
Yeah, or stupid.
Or just...
Or lame.
You know, they want to match an action figure with an art style. You know, but Michael Turner doesn't lend a good art style for an action figure.
No, it
does
not.
Neither does Tim Sale, neither does half these people.
Oh, you know, although you know who does? They're releasing a Matt Wagner Batman.
Oh, that'll be dope.
It looks awesome. It looks awesome.
So, do you collect toys?
Not anymore.
Not anymore.
No, I used to.
What kind of comics do you read right now?
I'm a big Mike Mignola fan. Anything with Hellboy?
Mignola?
Yeah.
Mignola. That's how it's directed by Bob Fingerman.
Okay. Mignola.
Yeah.
BPRD, of course. Uh-huh. And Conan is still a great, fantastic series.
That was pretty good. I've just stopped buying it, actually. I've started getting a little tired of it, but I was loving it.
Yeah.
I did. That was the only monthly comic I was buying for a long time.
It's entertaining as all hell.
I had like 9 new comics this week. It was bad. I got the new Doc Frankenstein by Steve Skros.
Oh, yeah.
Who I finally chatted with at the comic store, and hopefully he'll be on here sometime.
Oh, that'd be nice. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Doc Frankenstein's pretty nifty. Take a look at it.
And that's the other one I'm collecting is the Shaolin Cowboy. Talk about a feast of the eyes.
Yes.
Yeah, it'll make your eyes just pop right out.
Yeah, they're not cut out. Oh,
God, delicious book.
Yes, that's a juicy one, that one.
I'm the type of guy who buys comics if I like the writer or if I like the artist. I don't collect, per se.
Although you do have a penchant for sharks. You do enjoy a good shark appearance.
So if you're hearing that, any comic company listening, produce more covers with sharks on them. I'll buy them.
Yeah.
There's got to be other weirdos out there that'll do the same.
Yeah.
Right? You know?
That's true.
Yeah, and latest Shaolin Cowboy, number 6, I think it is.
Had the talking shark thing.
And
he
fights this massive shark throughout the entire issue.
Yeah. Who would have thought?
It's fun.
Yeah.
Sharks. Why do men love sharks? I don't know, but they do. Robin Thompson, thanks for coming out this week.
Thanks
I'm trying to figure out if, like, what time is right. I've got, like, the computer clock at 2:53. I've got the clock on the wall at 2:56.
I think this is about right.
That's about right.
Let's play some music. We always make jokes afterwards if we got time.
Yeah. We'll play the horror props, or horror pops, I should say. Mm-hmm. The song
horror? You mean, like, horrors?
Horrors and a horror.
Okay.
Horror.
You be the judge.
Yeah.